Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Now, we've been sharing a lot of wonderful things that have been happening in Israel, and it just seems like every day, you know, another week, another month, there's something good happening there. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't had a chance, book your trip to Israel. I had a chance to go almost 19, 20 years ago. I wish I can go again. It's a trip of a lifetime. Go to Israel, shop in Israel. You can buy online now. But we want to support our Jewish brothers and sisters as much as we can. But Steve's going to talk to us about a hospital, a college that's doing some amazing things.
Yes.
Talk to us.
Yeah.
What's happening in Israel?
Well, it seems like everyone has something.
Mishpocha.
It seems like, you know, that everybody has a perspective or something to say about Israel. Mm-hmm. And we're hearing, you know, sometimes it's always, most of the time it's always not encouraging. But if for some reason.
Depends who you listen to.
Exactly.
Right?
But if it's not encouraging, it tends to come from those that are not from Israel. But when you listen to those who are from Israel talk about Israel, it's a vastly different story. And it's like when you hear about what's going on in the Middle East, it's from those, like I said, who are not from Israel. And I came across something that I had to just watch repeatedly, because the more and more I saw this, the more encouraged I got. And real briefly, there is actually a university in Israel, and it's called Ariel University. Hmm. When you see what's happening on this campus, I will tell you, you are going to be filled with excitement about what is happening. Take a look at this.
This is Ariel University, located in the hills of biblical Samaria. Established in 1982, the school sought to improve higher education here, especially in the sciences, engineering, and health.
We're standing in front of now a particle accelerator.
Yes.
What is the purpose of a particle accelerator? Does every home need one?
You do have a little one in every home.
Really?
You have a microwave oven,
okay.
And in the microwave oven, you have a little particle accelerator, and it creates the radiation.
Professor Aharon Friedman told me there are only a few of these machines in the world.
The main research that we actually have occurring here now is cancer research. We have discovered that that particular radiation causes cancer cells to kill themselves.
Kill themselves?
Yes.
Put them on a suicide mission.
Exactly. But all the healthy cells are alive and well.
The university's home is Ariel, what some call a West Bank settlement and territory Palestinians want for a future state. It's also a land promised to the Jewish people as an eternal inheritance in the Bible.
But you have been boycotted at times.
We have been boycotted.
Who's boycotting you?
European governments. The U.S. State Department.
Oddly enough, despite the politics, the university represents a model for coexistence. 15,000 Israeli Jewish and Arab students study here together without a problem. I spoke with a variety of the students, Shira, a Jewish woman from New York, Efrat, a religious Israeli woman, Eli Ron, a reserve soldier, Yasser, an Israeli Arab, and Yossi, whose family immigrated from Ethiopia.
Why did you choose to come to Ariel University?
I was looking for where there's a good psychology program, something like an eclectic student body, and I found it here.
Okay, any of the rest of you, why you?
Because of the professional, of course, the professional department here, and especially in communication.
The people here are so warm and happy, and the teachers too. It's a small university, so they can give a good care to every student they see.
Do you agree with what he's saying about the atmosphere, the relationships?
It's a good atmosphere. My relationship with other people is very good as well. And I don't have any problem with anyone here.
Do any of you get any hassles or problems from family members because you've chosen to come to school here?
There are a lot of hostile Arabs around here. And there is a lot of incidents around here, so, you know, the parents are afraid for the children.
It would seem that you could be a model for the rest of the country between Jews, Arabs, whatever. Is that true?
Yes, hopefully. I think so.
Of course.
In my apartment, the next door is Arab people, and we have a good relationship. We don't have a problem at all.
Are you surprised by how effective you guys are?
Well, I'm not surprised. I have to be part of the system here that sends a message to everyone. The thing is that people remember this place from bad times, harsh times when things were rough or bad publicity in the news, but no one really comes here to see what's happening, so they don't really know.
So that's why we're here.
Now, maybe we will change something.
Yeah.
No, because I think that people really think that it's a very hard or not a safe place, but it's not true.
Chancellor Yigal Cohen-Orgad credits the university's success to creating an informal atmosphere where students see each other eye to eye.
Do you have many conflicts here in the university?
Thanks God, not at all. We passed in Israel two intifadas, this university. There was no one evening or one day of tension between Jews and Arabs that study here.
Despite its cutting-edge research, pastoral setting, and quiet campus life, some see Ariel University as a controversial place.
Have you had problems with the international community or with the other Israelis?
We don't have problems with other universities and research institutes. We have real problems with many governments, first of all in Europe, and part of the American government, i.e. the State Department, that tries to boycott us, formally or informally.
Why?
Because they think we don't have the right as Jews to live here in Samaria.
Do you have hope for the future for peace for Israel?
I am sure one day we are going to have peace with our Arab neighbors. Based on this understanding that we are here to stay, we shall find the way to live in peace.
Scott Ross, Ariel University, Samaria.
Wow, that is awesome. Absolutely amazing.
Is it not amazing?
I mean, it's the young generation that understands, listen, let's just get along. Mm-hmm. You know, we can do this. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Yeah, and it's just like, I can't help but just get through all of the things that are talking, that are being said about Israel. And this scientist was talking about a particle accelerator, and I couldn't help but just notice. It was just like, did you just find a cure for cancer? Is that what he's telling us? And it's just like, this is happening in Israel. It's like, think about this. And it's like, all of these things that are coming against Israel, and this is what God is doing. And it's like, how much more of a significant beacon do you need that says, this is God's land? This is what God is doing.
When I heard that, I instantly thought about what Perry Stone shared at we had on our program. And Perry Stone shared that he was told by someone in the Knesset that in 4 years, Israel would no longer be dependent on the United States. And he gave four reasons, and one of which was that Israel will be experiencing medical breakthroughs. Mm-hmm. They're experiencing breakthroughs already in diabetes and Alzheimer's, but now cancer.
Yeah.
And it looks like the world will be coming to Israel to get medical treatment, especially cancer. Yeah. Amazing.
And it even makes me just think about, like I said, having an accurate perspective about what's happening in Israel. We've talked about narratives and the things that are being said and repeated over and over and over. And if you're not from an area, you know, I remember one of the things that when I was deployed, when I was overseas in Iraq, before I left, I told my relatives, I said, don't watch the news. Because if you only hear just one portion, if you only hear just one side, you're not going to know the full story. Mm. And there's so many things that actually happened on the ground that weren't being told to the Western eye. And when you come back and see it, and it's just like, you know, that's not the full story. And I see this, that these students are saying, you know, could you possibly be a model for the entire country? Mm. And it's like, I don't even know what's more exciting, the scientific developments that are happening or the reality that Jews and Arabs are working alongside each other. They're friends, and the fact that they can actually have a community, and the fact it's just like, wow, this actually is not exactly what the world is saying it is. And it reminds me of a video that we recently shared from Prager University as far as like the media and the narratives. And it's like, let's ask those who are actually in that region, what's going on?
Wow. It's absolutely amazing. You know, when I went to Israel, I felt the same way, because you look at the news reports and you see what comes across the media, and you would think that everyone there is living in fear and they're terrified. But I was so surprised. One evening we arrived in Israel, and I was in Tel Aviv, and it's a very large, you know, city, a lot of things happening. And I'm standing in the balcony of my hotel. It's midnight. You know, it was a long night. We just got it unpacked, and I'm just overlooking the city, and it was in a busy downtown area. And at midnight, there's two small children playing with their bikes, you know, up and down the street. No problem, no concerns. And I really didn't feel any concern for my life while I was there. And so it matters what perspective and where you're getting it from. But to see that type of coexistence, to see people getting along, and to see what kind of breakthroughs are coming out of Israel are so encouraging.
Yeah. And that's what I love, because even one of the students that said that those that think this is an unsafe area are those who have never been here. But those that know it is safe are those that are from here.
Yeah. And what's interesting is that who's boycotting Israel?
Exactly.
Who's boycotting the university, the State Department? And whenever you involve politics, it makes everything so messy, so complicated. Mm-hmm. And I know that you were sharing something else with me during the break in regarding that now with this nuclear, you know, uranium enrichment program and this deal that they're trying to, you know, quote unquote, stop Iran, but not really for this develop this nuclear weapon. There's things that they're not even putting into the framework that the prime minister is trying to say, listen, at least acknowledge Israel.
Mm-hmm.
What were you saying? You were saying something about.
Yeah. And it's just like you're getting into the international community, because Israel wants to say, hey, you have to recognize us as a Jewish state. You have to recognize that.
Whatever. Iran.
Yeah.
Iran needs to recognize them.
And they're going back and forth, and they're saying this. The president of America, his response to that request, he says, the president said, asking Iran to recognize Israel is tantamount to saying we won't sign a deal unless the nature of the Iranian regime is completely transformed. And that's basically saying, that's not something that I can actually do. You asking me to do this, you asking me to say Iran must recognize Israel as a Jewish state, is kind of like saying Iran has to transform their entire regime. And it's like,
it's irrational. These things are so ridiculous, because when you think about, even with the Palestinian Authority, they want the West Bank as part of the territory. Mm-hmm. And Israel's willing, they have been willing to say, hey, we will give you this land. There are some criteria with this. One of them is that you have to acknowledge Israel as a Jewish state.
Yeah.
And so, but they refuse to do that. And it's like, okay, you want me to break a piece of my bread to give to you, but you don't want to acknowledge the original loaf of bread of which this piece I'm giving you from. It's nonsense. And to entertain that type of nonsense, it's just going around the circle, and it's really just setting Israel up. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue this conversation. We need to be informed. There's a lot of hopeful, wonderful things that are going on right now in Israel, and we want to share that with you. There's so many things that are happening and in Israel, but when we get a simple understanding, it's not as complicated as the media is trying to make it out to be and others are arguing about. The truth is that there is a Middle East problem, but it's easily understandable. In fact, Prager University does a fabulous job at doing this. Watch Dennis Prager now.
When I did my graduate studies at the Middle East Institute at Columbia University's School of International Affairs, I took many courses on the question of the Middle East conflict. Semester after semester, we studied the Middle East conflict as if it was the most complex conflict in the world, when in fact, it is probably the easiest conflict in the world to explain. It may be the hardest to solve, but it is the easiest to explain. In a nutshell, it's this. One side wants the other side dead. Israel wants to exist as a Jewish state and to live in peace. Israel also recognizes the right of Palestinians to have their own state and to live in peace. The problem, however, is that most Palestinians and many other Muslims and Arabs do not recognize the right of the Jewish state of Israel to exist. This has been true since 1947, when the United Nations voted to divide the land called Palestine into a Jewish state and an Arab state. The Jews accepted the United Nations partition, but no Arab or any other Muslim country accepted it. When British rule ended on May 15, 1948, the armies of all the neighboring Arab states, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Transjordan, and Egypt, attacked the one-day-old state of Israel in order to destroy it. But to the world's surprise, the little Jewish state survived. Then it happened again. In 1967, the dictator of Egypt, Gamal Abdel Nasser, announced his plan, in his words, to destroy Israel. He placed Egyptian troops on Israel's border, and armies of surrounding Arab countries were also mobilized to attack. However, Israel preemptively attacked Egypt and Syria. Israel did not attack Jordan and begged Jordan's king not to join the war. But he did. And only because of that did Israel take control of Jordanian land, specifically the West Bank of the Jordan River. Shortly after the war, the Arab states went to Khartoum, Sudan, and announced their famous three no's: no recognition, no peace, and no negotiations. What was Israel supposed to do? Well, one thing Israel did a little more than a decade later in 1978 was to give the entire Sinai Peninsula, an area of land bigger than Israel itself and with oil, back to Egypt, because Egypt, under new leadership, signed a peace agreement with Israel. So Israel gave land for the promise of peace with Egypt, and it has always been willing to do the same thing with the Palestinians. All the Palestinians have ever had to do is recognize Israel as a Jewish state and promise to live in peace with it. But when Israel has proposed trading land for peace, as it did in 2000, when it agreed to give the Palestinians a sovereign state in more than 95% of the West Bank and all of Gaza, the Palestinian leadership rejected the offer and instead responded by sending waves of suicide terrorists into Israel. Meanwhile, Palestinian radio, television, and school curricula remain filled with glorification of terrorists, demonization of Jews, and the daily repeated message that Israel should cease to exist. So it's not hard to explain the Middle East dispute. One side wants the other dead. The motto of Hamas, the Palestinian rulers of Gaza, is, "We love death as much as the Jews love life." There are 22 Arab states in the world, stretching from the Atlantic Ocean to the Indian Ocean. There is one Jewish state in the world, and it is about the size of New Jersey. In fact, tiny El Salvador is larger than Israel. Finally, think about these two questions. If tomorrow Israel laid down its arms and announced, "We will fight no more," what would happen? And if the Arab countries around Israel laid down their arms and announced, "We will fight no more," what would happen? In the first case, there would be an immediate destruction of the state of Israel and mass murder of its Jewish population. In the second case, there would be peace the next day. As I said at the outset, it is a simple problem to describe. One side wants the other dead. And if it didn't, there would be peace. Please remember this. There has never been a state in the geographic area known as Palestine that was not Jewish. Israel is the third Jewish state to exist in that area. There was never an Arab state, never a Palestinian state, never a Muslim or any other state. That's the issue. Why can't the one Jewish state the size of El Salvador be allowed to exist? That is the Middle East problem. I'm Dennis Prager.
Sums it up pretty good for us.
Oh, yeah.
This is not a difficult problem to understand. When you look at what Israel's been willing to do time and time again, who does that, Steve? Who gives up the spoils of war and says, "Oh, we're going to give you back this oil property that we, that this piece of land that we won after you attacked us,
which is bigger than Israel.
Hello, we're going to give it to you back." Yeah. And, you know, there's been peace ever since between that board for that peace agreement. It's just huge. I think that Israel has proven time and time again that they are willing to work with the Palestinians. They're willing to work with any of the Arab countries. But they insist on peace. This is mm-hmm. this is a normal thing to insist upon. I love what Dennis Prager said. He said, if Israel decides to say, you know, we're going to fight no more, and if the Palestinians say we're going to fight no more, what would happen? Mm-hmm. Well, in the case of the Jews saying we're not going to fight anymore, then they would be dead because all they're fighting is defensible fighting.
Right.
They're not instigating any fighting. But if the Palestinians, you know, continue, or they, you know, say we're not going to fight anymore, then there's peace since they're the ones that are doing all the attacking and stirring it up. Listen, it's simple. There can be peace in Jerusalem, and we're encouraged in the Word of God to pray for peace. In fact, Steve, won't you lead us in a prayer as we close out today's program for Israel and the peace of Jerusalem?
Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for the truth about what is really happening in Israel. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that you are the Father over all of Israel, Lord, and you are backing up Israel. You are protecting Israel, and you're in control, that no matter who comes against Israel, you are still in control, that whoever curses Israel will be cursed, but whoever blesses Israel will be blessed. And we thank you now, Lord, for the mighty victories that are coming in the name of Jesus. And we say, save Israel, Lord. May your kingdom come in all of Israel, in all of those that are in Israel. And we say, have your way, God.
Peace,
in Jesus'
peace
name.
To Jerusalem.
Peace to Jerusalem, Lord. In Jesus' name, God.
Amen.
Amen.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.